Welcome to another episode of the Middle Country Public Library Podcast. I'm Sal DiVincenzo here in the studio with my happy, fabulous colleagues, Sarah Fade and Nicole Rambo, figuring out what camera to look at. How's everyone doing?
Okay,
good.
You know, we haven't done this in a long time.
Yes.
It is a movie chat. So if you are...
Have we ever done one on camera?
No, we haven't. Yes. I don't know what extra things I might be able to add to this besides maybe, I don't know, some scenes. I don't know. I don't want to get flagged on YouTube, how that works in an educational situation if I wanted to show a scene.
Yeah,
I might show some stills while we're talking. But that being said, for those of you who don't know what the movie chats are here on the podcast, this is how it works. Sarah, Nicole, or I will pick a film, a movie, ahead of time. We will watch that movie. A lot of times it's movies we haven't seen. Sometimes it's movies that one of us has seen and wants the others to see. And then what we do is we have a chat about it. So there will be spoilers. If you haven't seen the movie we're talking about today, there will be spoilers. And we pretty much, we describe what the film's about, we talk about some trivia, and then we give our reviews on it. Okay? So with that being said, Sarah got to pick
this
one.
Yeah.
And I think you had mentioned this in a previous episode, this film. So Sarah, tell everyone who is watching and listening, what movie did you pick this time for this movie chat?
Okay. So I did mention this film in a previous episode when we talked about musicals, movies with music. And it's called The Sapphires. So I didn't put it in the list, but I did mention it. So I was like, oh, we should just watch that. So
And we did.
We did. The Sapphires is a 2012 Australian musical comedy drama film based loosely on the stage play The Sapphires by Tony Briggs, which is also loosely based on a real-life 1960s girl group that included Briggs' mother and aunt. The film is directed by Wayne Blair and written by Keith Thompson and Tony Briggs. So The Sapphires is about four Yorta Yorta, which means Aboriginal Australian women, Gail, Julie, Kay, and Cynthia, who are discovered by a talent scout played by Chris O'Dowd. And they form a musical group named The Sapphires. So they travel to Vietnam in 1968 to sing for troops during the war. And ultimately, they just want to be famous. You know, a little side note, production began in 2010 with the casting of the four members of the Sapphires. It took place in around Albury, Australia and Vietnam during August and September of 2011. It made its world premiere at the Cannes Film Festival and it did win some awards.
It did?
Yeah. But it did have a limited release in the U.S., so it wasn't quite popular here as it was in Australia.
Yeah, I think it only made $20 million, right?
Yeah, it was a tiny little film, but it was very good. So the plot, in 1968 Australia, Gail and Cynthia head into town to sing at a talent contest. Their younger sister, Julie, is forbidden to go, partly because of her youth and partly because she already has a child. But she bribes a neighbor to take her to the contest. An alcoholic Irish talent scout, Dave Lovelace, is scolded by his boss for being late despite him sleeping in his car near his work. Despite being the best act in the contest, the girls not only do not win, but are told to leave. Dave recognizes their talent and is told that the troops need singers for Vietnam, which is not really the case, but... After presenting these facts to the scheduled singers, Dave makes a call and tells them they've been granted a spot to audition in Melbourne. So that's just a little bit about it, but there is a lot of history about Aboriginal women and what they did to the lighter-skinned Aboriginal children, that they would take them from their family and adopt them out to white family to try to eradicate the Aborigines. So they touch on that a little bit. They touch on what's going on in Vietnam, and it's also a love story.
Yeah.
Sure.
Romance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that is pretty much
And they're singing. There's some good 60s music in there.
Yes. Yeah.
There is a lot of singing.
Some anachronistic singing, because some songs, when I looked into it, some songs were not released at the time in the 68. They came out afterwards, but that's okay.
That's all right.
It's all right.
Maybe they wrote the songs.
Yeah. all right. So, and like you said, there is a comedy musical drama. There is some drama in this film. And we are about to discuss some plot points and some spoilers. Mm-hmm. So first I will give it to you, Sarah, mm-hmm. to let us know what you thought about the movie and what, you know, what some of your thoughts were about the plot.
Oh, okay. Well, I enjoyed it. Okay. It is like a 90-minute movie.
Yes, it's a tight 90.
So
I saw that. I was like, let's go.
Yeah, it's nice and short. And it's, you know, they touch on some topics, but they don't get too heavy into it. Mm-hmm. And the music does make it a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to digest, even though it's sort of heavy, you know.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess that's my first question for you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about, so the subjects, obviously, the tough subjects is the racism, the ridiculous racism that takes place against the Aboriginal people, especially, you know, as it's portrayed here in the film. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about them kind of glossing it over a little bit? I mean, that's what I was kind of looking for in the film, a little more in depth about that, the history of that, because frankly, I did not know how bad it was there about that. I knew that it was bad, but I didn't realize it was like to their, you know, awful, terrible the way they were treated. Did you appreciate that they glossed over that because it was meant to be more of a lighthearted film, or did you want more of that?
No, I did not want more of that in this film. That's what not this film is. If you want to learn about the racism and what happened to the Aboriginal culture, this is not the film.
Yeah.
No, right.
I mean, there are other films that you can watch that are more serious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen that. So I knew because I, you know, I like Australian movies. So yeah. I, you know, they touched upon it in a good way. They brought it to light, but it wasn't so bad where you're like, I don't understand, is this a comedy, is this a romance, I feel okay, really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's a good gateway because, you know, you didn't know much about it. So now you can watch other films. There's a film called like Rabbit Fence and that deals more into that. And there's there's a lot of Australian movies that
deal with
that probably Americans, you know, they just don't know about just because.
Yeah.
It's Australia, so. Yeah. But in Australia, I'm sure they're more known about these films. So.
I did appreciate the strong character. You know, the who was it? Gail, was that the character's
name? She was the main.
The main character, the
Mama
old,
Bear.
The eldest of the sisters.
Yeah,
I do appreciate they portrayed her as sticking up for herself and, you know, being able to take care of herself and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Part of me wanted a little more of her backstory, and we got a little bit.
She's the only one. Well, and Kay, because she was on that.
The two, they were the two. Yeah, that you got more about.
Yeah,
but at least they did that, right?
Yeah,
at least they portrayed that.
There's only so much they could do in 90 minutes, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if they did any more, it'd be just be like, it's just too much. Mm-hmm. Unless they, you know, totally rewrote it. Like, I think it'd be a different story.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to get into each of them.
Right.
Or back, you know.
Sure. And the film kind of, it for me, I didn't know where it was going to go. I assumed that there was going to be some drama involved because, you know, you're in Vietnam in the 60s. So, and they allude to it. There's some foreshadowing at the beginning of the film. So basically, to bring in on this, spoiler alert, they do win the contest, I guess. They are... not to win the contest, but they do get hired by the government to perform for soldiers in Vietnam. And they get there, and it's basically under the guise that, okay, we're going to provide you with military escort and protection, right? So that happens for most of the film. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, that kind of falls apart. And then you think, okay, something bad's going to happen, but it doesn't. They get to their next destination without a military escort. And then when they're in the middle of the military base, that's when all hell breaks loose.
And they get attacked.
And they get attacked. Yeah. So that's the dramatic part. But this is a very small part of the film. Maybe, what, 15 minutes, 10 minutes of actual super drama, right?
Yeah. But then Dave gets shot. You
Dave, don't know if yes. he's going to live. Dave got shot.
Chris O'Dowd, no.
I kind of knew, though, when he got shot, I kind of felt like they're not, you can't, like, end the movie this way.
No,
you can't,
they like, won't. Have it, like, be a, it wasn't so serious that they could have killed him. I thought that would have, like, totally changed the tone if he actually wound up dying.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm glad he didn't.
But, I mean, they could have gone in that direction.
They could have, but I've been like,
They didn't.
In some movies, I'm happy when they die and they stay dead. This wasn't one of them I wanted him to.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I enjoyed him. I thought he was probably the comic of the comic relief that was mm-hmm. going on in this film. He was probably the most the funniest, yeah. I guess, mm-hmm. you know, of the group.
Who's the guy's mom? It's Julie, right? The writer, yes. His mom was Julie.
It was the young, yeah.
The lead singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Julie. Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like I've seen that actress before, but when I looked on the IMDb, there wasn't really anything.
It's interesting. When I was looking that up, the actress who plays Gail returned to acting after 10 years, after like a decade, and she was just in a movie last year. Her first time since this film.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, she was Sheepdog number one in Bluey.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Bluey is Australian. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we should just have like a Bluey-thon and we should just watch episodes and cry and think about how wonderful it is.
I do cry.
The best show ever. Okay, so what else, Sarah?
Would this movie have made it into your list when we did that episode where you mentioned this movie?
Oh, yeah, the musical episode, not necessarily musicals.
Yeah, it's an honorable mention. I did mention it.
Yeah, but you hadn't seen it at that point.
No, I did see it.
Oh, you had seen it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I thought you hadn't seen it. You were just like a similar movie.
This is like not kind of a musical in the sense that these are not original songs. These are all like Otis Redding and,
right.
you know, these are all songs from that era. Mm-hmm. Approximately, like I said, some of the songs came out after the movie's supposed to take place.
I wish there was more singing. I feel like there wasn't that much. But again, it was only 90 minutes, so I guess for the amount of time.
Yeah, I was like...
yeah, but I do, like, because they were good performers. Like, I liked when they were singing.
Although one thing that I liked about this movie that I like about independent movies, particularly, because, you know, never heard of it, didn't make much money, et cetera. But they were all very good actors and actresses.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, so, like, sometimes you see movies and they're just terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. But sometimes when you see, like, not... on our side, well known. They might be well known in Australia, but you know, I'm like, oh, they're quite good.
Yeah,
genuine. Too. Yeah, like you felt like you know they were really from the heart.
Good acting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked it a lot.
So yeah, Nicole, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot. Yeah, I like that decade. I like the music. Mm-hmm. I loved the music. I love Chris O'Dowd. He's the funny. Mm-hmm. He's so funny. Mm-hmm. He's so funny.
Yeah.
I liked him in the IT Crowd. I liked him in Moon Boy. I liked him in Bridesmaids.
Is he the meme? Hello, IT department. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Yeah. Is that him? That's him, right?
Yeah. So I'm happy he was in it. Mm. Yeah, the acting was good. I thought it was interesting. I'm like, I want to know if that's really what Vietnam was like. It was like crazy. It was like a nightclub. They had like promoters. I was like, is this what was going on?
I mean, you want to make money.
Yeah, I will say that's the first time I saw it portrayed that way.
It's interesting. I want to ask my father-in-law because he was there and my uncle too, actually.
And what'd they say?
No, I have to.
Oh, you have to
ask them. Yeah, I want to ask them. Did you have club promoters walking around?
Because, I mean, there was Good Morning Vietnam, which kind of touched on like the social aspect of it, but I don't think
they were in the town, though. So they were
Saigon. They were in Saigon.
So, I mean, it's not like they were in like, I don't know, the bush. You know what I mean? So it's like they were in like a legit city. You know.
There's actually, I was flipping through a book yesterday that's being weeded out of the collection, and it's like the century worth of photographs. So I was like looking through it, and there was one, and it was a photograph of all these young little boys, and they were the like illegitimate children of like the American soldiers that were in Vietnam, and it was like very interesting. And there's like little boys, and they were in there like the orphanage because they like the soldiers left and stuff. Yeah. But like I was like, oh, babies, they were so cute. Yeah. But then when I saw this movie, I was like, oh well, there's your children.
Voila.
But I was like, oh, it's interesting.
I didn't realize that this was once a play.
Yeah,
it must have been interesting as a play. I could see this actually doing very well as a play, as a musical.
Yeah,
a jukebox. I guess it would be a jukebox musical in a sense, right? Because they would be using songs from
is that what they're called?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not a musical.
Well, jukebox. I guess a jukebox musical would be like one artist, so they would have to pick one artist to do a lot. But. So just a couple of things as far as trivia is concerned before I tell you what I thought. Because I know you're interested.
Dying to know.
It's
a chat. We only have to chat.
Yes, we do chat. But the song that the girls sing as children, because I kind of like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's repeated throughout the film. It was originally a gospel hymn about Moses that has been translated into the Yorta language. and it kind of comes back a couple of times in the film. It's at the beginning of the movie, kind of sets up the history of the group as children, and then it goes back at the very end when she, I guess, gets re-entered into the society and the culture. So the girl who was stolen evidently has been brought up in, you know, a predominantly white neighborhood with white, you know, doing Tupperware parties and all this kind of stuff, which I thought was a little like kind of like over the top stereotype, but I thought it was funny though, because it and then she comes back and they kind of like bring her back with some sort of ceremony or something that's all kind of replaced, but I thought that was kind of interesting. I liked the movie. I watched it with my wife. I liked the movie. I don't think it was long enough. I know that's kind of strange. And I thought the pacing was off a little bit. I liked the musical numbers, but I thought where they were placed and the pacing in between was just, for me, it was kind of, it did not have the rhythm that I was hoping for. That being said, acting fantastic. Some of the scenery was, the cinematography was really interesting, how they shot some things, especially the dramatic scene where they're pulling away in the helicopter.
Right, yeah.
And it's kind of from, it's not from his point of view, it's from their point of view and like pulling back. Right, and you kind of see him get shot at the very end. And kind of that, there's also a scene in the hospital that kind of, again, they didn't want to make it too dramatic, but it was like a moment of like, so for me, the pacing was just a little off. And I did want to, again, because I did not know about, I knew about it, but I did not know the extent of the Aboriginal things with that. How like outside and how in your face that the people were with and how they
literally
were
like stealing, kidnapping.
Yeah,
children.
Exactly. I did not know that. Yeah. So I would have liked to maybe have them spend maybe an extra 10 minutes on that. Not a lot more, but an extra 10 minutes to kind of add some levity to the situation and to kind of give these women a little more of just a light and fluffy, oh, we want to be singers someday and kind of thing. But just like the fact that they started somewhere and now they're actually moving up to a position where, you know, they're getting their name out. And kudos to the filmmakers who are able to make a film like this. It's a shame that it's not more popular, but was not more popular. And there was some controversy with the DVD cover. If you look it up on Internet Movie Database, you'll probably get the Chris O'Dowd is like prominent, you know, right up front instead of the girls being right up front. This should have been the other way around. He should have been like small and they should have been big. It is what it is. I guess if you're marketing it in the United States, you have to put somebody who, you know, on the cover. So that's how they did it. But yeah, I would have liked maybe a little more of that backstory. It's kind of like this historical fiction, even though it's based on a true story. I don't like when they say inspired by, because, you know, it's like there's a little bit of frills and flourishes added to it. But it was enjoyable. I did like the music. And yeah.
Well, what did your wife think?
Yeah.
She liked it. These are up my wife's alley, these movies. This is like, this is in her wheelhouse. So this was an enjoyable film. She liked it.
Yeah.
Yes. So we usually do the thing where it's like on a scale of 1 to 10, we give it a number. We'll start on that side of the table there. Nicole, what would you give it? 1 to 10?
8.5.
Okay. Nice. Nine. That's a nice, wow. That's a good one.
You know me. I'm like, 10.
It's a good one.
Making a movie's hard. And then you capped it at 90 minutes. And for that, you at least get an 8.
Very good. All right. And Sarah?
I would say 8.
8? Okay. All right. I'll give it a 7.5, which incidentally happened to be the average audience viewing was 75%, which is still good. Yeah. It got a very good rating. A very good rating was like 91%, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
And it's his second, Chris O'Dowd's second highest rated movie that he's ever been in.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I forgot what the first
really
one is.
He was really funny in it.
Yeah, he was great. No, he was great.
He was like really funny.
He was really good.
They were good. Like, I feel like like you said, like it was well acted, and then the characters all like really complemented each other.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, yeah, everyone had their like role, and they played it really well.
Exactly.
And I liked it. Yeah.
As an ensemble group, they were very, very good, and their the characteristics, their personalities came out exactly how they were being portrayed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You had the feisty young one. You had the one who, you know, who was the, like you said, the mama bear. You had the one who was just like happy to be there. Happy to be back. And then one who wanted you know, wanted to be, you know, back in the family. Pulled out and wanted to be back in. So it's a good one.
Good.
So we do have this here at the library, Seraphine. I think we have at least one copy. And good news to those of you who have streaming services available for free on Tubi, if you have a Tubi app, and Pluto TV. And if you pay for Peacock, it's on Peacock. And yeah, this kind of like made me subscribe, resubscribe to Peacock. So I got back on
Peacock. Yeah, we were subscribed. I wasn't sure. And then I saw it on my, we are.
and coincidentally enough, just after that movie ended, my wife started watching Lisa Frankenstein without me saying anything.
See, that's the movie which I was going
movie
to
she
pick.
Was going to pick, and maybe we'll pick it next time.
What's Lisa Frankenstein?
It's kind of a horror, dark comedy.
You'd like it. Okay.
So she watched the first 15, 20 minutes, and so I'm sure that's going to be in my house again. So if you want to make that another movie chat, we could do that. So thank you so much for joining us for this week's movie chat, this week's episode. If you want to listen to older episodes, older movie chats, because this must be, what, 45?
It's been a while, though.
It's been a while, but it's up there.
We have 45 movies.
We've done many movies. we've done many, many movies.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so we've had many movie chats. So definitely do a search. If you go to mcplpodcast.com, in the upper right-hand corner, there's a little search box. Type in movie chat, and you'll see all our movie chats. It's very cool, and you can just listen to them and decide if whether or not you want to watch those movies. And we have all of them here at the library. That's one thing that we do.
If you've already seen it, let us know what you think of the movie.
Yeah, comment below and let us know what you thought of the Sapphires. All right. So thank you so much for watching and listening. For Sarah Fade, Nicole Rambo, Sal DiVincenzo. See you next time.
Bye.